today on Real Radio.
This promise, thank God, Christian, have you ever leaned on that verse? You say, oh no, I love that verse, but I'm not a Jew, so I guess I can't lean on it. Oh yes, you can. Because all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. Yes. It's Jesus that opens up all those promises to you and I.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called 31.7 North, 35.2 East, Part 2, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, God used the prophet Isaiah to speak mainly to his people in Judah and the city of Jerusalem. But God also gave Isaiah visions that were far into the future. That would include the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, also what's going to happen in the last days, and the events that will lead to his new kingdom here on earth. In Isaiah chapter 26, we looked into the coming 1,000-year reign, or what's called the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. The title of this message may seem a bit strange, but the latitude and longitude of 31.7 North, 35.2 East pinpoints the city of Jerusalem on the globe. Now, during his second coming, Jesus will rule and reign from Jerusalem. Now, in part two, we'll continue to see how God will shake up the earth when he comes by moving the city of Jerusalem. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that God loves Israel and Jerusalem. The existence of Israel today is one of the reasons why there's so much trouble in the world. But when we learn to discipline our thoughts, the Lord will meet us where we are, and that place will become a safe place with God. And now in his lesson called 31.7 North, 35.2 East, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Well, grab your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 26 tonight. Isaiah 26, we were in this chapter last time, and we got down to verse 3. We touched on verse 3. We'll touch on verse 3 again, and then we'll move on with hopes of concluding this chapter tonight. One of the great chapters of the book of Isaiah. Chapters 25, 26, and 27, as you know by now, deal specifically with the millennial age, that is, the second coming of Christ and his established government on earth. A lot of people today might say, with hesitation, and I would be with them, I would be on their side, that, Christians, we don't want you to set up a theocracy on earth. Well, relax. Christians, if they know their Bibles, would never attempt to set up a theocracy on earth. That would be ridiculous. Jesus is going to come back and do it himself. It's not for us to do. We are to preach the cross. We're to preach Christ. We're to announce the gospel to the ends of the earth. As believers, we're supposed to live godly lives that please God, and we're supposed to be engaging our culture, that is, shining the light of the gospel and the effect that God has had upon our lives. We are to affect the rest of our community and beyond. God establishes his government, and he will do that ultimately at the second coming of Christ. But as we look tonight at part two of this message, do you remember the title? It's the strangest title we've ever had. The title of tonight's message is what it was last week. There it is. It's 31.7 degrees north, 35.2 degrees east. Isaiah chapter 26, what is that? It is Israel. It is the GPS drop the pin point of Jerusalem specifically. In the land of Israel. Why do we bring it up? Because Isaiah 26 is talking to us, Isaiah is speaking to us about the establishment of the kingdom of God, the millennial age, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus. Jesus Christ must physically reign on the earth for 1,000 years, says the Bible. If he doesn't, then we got the wrong Jesus. That's how big of a deal that is. Very important. But specifically, God is going to do a tremendous renovation, and I can add even elevation of this longitude, latitude, GPS location. God is going to touch those numbers someday when he returns, and the Bible says that he's going to cause an earthquake, and the Mount of Olives is going to split, and Mount Zion will rise, it will ascend. Imagine if you've ever been to Israel, and if you've ever been to Mount Zion, if you've looked at that region of Mount Moriah, where the southern part of Moriah would be where the temple is, the most southern spot of Moriah is the city of David, King David. And the Bible says it is going to elevate up when Christ comes back in the second coming. How awesome is that going to be? You say, man, you know, how's that going to happen? I don't have a clue. But God's going to do it. And it's going to be amazing. He's going to move the earth when he comes. And that's going to be a great and wonderful thing. You guys, last time on our study in verses 1, 2, and 3, we saw this, that looking at what is the city of the great king, Mount Zion, we looked in verses 1 and 2, and we saw that it will be Jerusalem once Jesus returns. The city of the great king is a reference not to David, but to none other than the Messiah. The oldest Jewish mindset and thinking always understood Mount Zion to be the place, not of David, but of the fact that the Messiah would someday be enthroned in that spot. Now, tonight, if you're here and you're Jewish, you refuse to believe that Jesus is your Messiah. Listen, you will later. You will see that. You'll understand that to be true from your Old Testament. By the way, friends, you've heard me say this before. If you're ever witnessing to a Jewish person, never, never, never use your New Testament to witness to them about Jesus as the Messiah. They won't listen to you. They'll turn and walk away when you open up the New Testament. So stay in the old. You ought to be able to argue the messiahship of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi very well. And if you don't know how to do that, you need to learn. You need to be schooled in that, because Jewish people will not listen to the New Testament. Even though it's written by a bunch of Jews, they won't read it. But it's an amazing thing to remember that the fact is Jerusalem, God is, not only is he not done with Jerusalem, he's just getting started. And we saw that in verses 1 and 2, that according to the Bible, it's God's favorite place on earth. God loves it. The Bible says that he loves the land of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 12. Deuteronomy 11, 12 says, a land for which the Lord your God cares, the eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. God loves Jerusalem. God loves Israel. The Bible tells us in Psalm 83, verse 2, regarding his love for Israel, and in fact, that Israel even exists at all, is an amazing argument for the existence of God. In Psalm 83, verse 2, it says, for behold, your enemies, that is Israel's enemies and God's enemies, make a tumult, and those who hate you, that is God, have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people. Who are God's people? The Jews, Israel. And consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of what? Israel may be remembered no more. For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites. God is saying, I am focused on Jerusalem and on Israel. And that's one of the great, great landing points of Christ in his second coming. And then the second thing we saw last time is where we left off, is that it will be for those who are the citizens of that place. Now, this is an amazing thing. Church, watch this. At the end of the seven-year tribulation period, when Christ returns and establishes his kingdom, he will commence his judgment that we've mentioned before in Matthew chapter 25. The Bible says that Jesus, after returning, will separate the nations like a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He just separates the sheep on one side, goats on the other side. And when Jesus does that, after his second coming and upon his return, those who are considered the sheep in the parable or in the teaching, they live into, or they enter into the kingdom of God. That will not be you. You will not be in that group of people. You had already been in heaven. You had been raptured. You had been in heaven for at least 7 years, probably, hopefully longer, but you'll be there with the Lord, and you can read about you in Revelation 19. You're up there before the Lord comes back In fact, the Bible tells us that in Revelation 19, you, the church, come with him from heaven to earth to establish his kingdom. And those who are judged, those mortals, those humans that have passed the test, and I wonder if you remember what the test is for those people during the tribulation period. The test will be, how do you live into the kingdom age? The test will be, how did you treat his brethren? He says in Matthew 25, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. You ever wonder who he was talking about? He's talking about his holy people, his redeemed. By then, it will be the believing house of Israel. So, quite amazing. The citizens of the kingdom, but we don't have to wait for this promise. Listen, verse 3 says, and you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. This promise, thank God, Christian. Have you ever leaned on that verse? You say, oh no, I love that verse, but I'm not a Jew, so I guess I can't lean on it. Oh, yes, you can. Because all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. Yes. It's Jesus that opens up all those promises to you and I. Wow. Look, my life verse, Jeremiah 29:11. It tells us that God, that his thoughts toward me are for a future and for a hope, that God's got good plans for my life. And what he wants to do is bring my life to a full and complete end, according to his decree. I want that in my life. You say, well, you can't lean on that promise. That was God's word through Jeremiah to the people of Israel. Yes, I know, and it's true. But listen, I've now been grafted in. The Bible says if you're a Gentile believer tonight, you have been brought into the commonwealth of Israel, it's called. It doesn't mean you're Israel. Israel is Israel. The church is the church. But the promises of our God belong to us too. That's a glorious thing. And so when I look at that verse that God will give me, you, perfect peace because your mind is stayed, anchored upon Christ, you can be rest assured of this. God will give you his peace. The Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Why does the Bible say that? Because we're anxious for about everything. That's why it says it, honestly. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace, there it is, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard. It's a military word. There will be a garrison established, an armed guard around your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How awesome is that? That when Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life and you lean upon God and you trust in him, the result of that is peace, a perfect peace that cannot be humanly defined or described. Listen, for each and every one of us who know Jesus, and for those of you who are new to Jesus, I want to encourage you. It's one thing to know him on a day-to-day, easygoing basis. That's wonderful. But I want to encourage you that when the hard day comes, when the walls seem to be crumbling down or the foundation seem to be just crumbling beneath your feet and everything seems to be just off the rails, bad and crazy. Guess who's going to show up? And I can tell you this, I will not make you this promise because humans cannot keep promises. It would taint what I'm about to say. He has promised you that he would never leave you nor forsake you. When you're in a tough place, the God of the Bible shows up and will blow your mind. And sometimes we don't sense him until we're in a real crisis. He will keep you in perfect peace. It's a peace. Listen, if somebody knows what I'm talking about in a second, when I define this, if you know what I'm talking about, say amen, will you? It's this. That when stuff hits your life and you have this initial, knee-jerk reaction. Oh! And then you, wait a minute. Okay, wait. I'm freaking out. This doesn't make sense. But if I catch my breath, I remember God's on his throne. Okay, God's on his throne. The Bible's true. And I'm in trouble. What does this mean? It means in that moment, God will bring you perfect peace. Because what you're doing, you are actually leaning upon him. You're trusting him. And he has promised to show up to the party. He will be in your crisis. And I got to tell you, sometimes in the crisis, it's kind of weird because you feel like apologizing to the people around you for the peace that you have. It's like, I'm sorry I'm not having a meltdown like the rest of you, but I'm leaning on God. And they're going to think, you know what? He snapped. He's way out there now. He's so grieved out, freaked out, that he thinks that he's got peace from God. Let me tell you something. Crisis separate the believers from the pretenders. It's an amazing thing. So this is very important. Now we move on in our study. Argument number three is that it will be him. It will be the Lord who is alone salvation. Will you write that down? Number three is in verses 4-6 that it's the Lord. It's Jesus who alone is our salvation. When it says right there, trust in the Lord forever, follow with me, for Yah, the Lord. Look at that in your Bible. Look, if your Bible does not say capital A or capital Y, capital A, capital H, if your Bible doesn't say that, okay, it can say Yehovah. Maybe some of your Bibles say Yehovah or Jehovah. There's no J in Hebrew, so it'd be Yehovah. Then you can keep your Bible. But if your Bible says some other name other than Y-A-H, if it doesn't have that, throw your Bible away. You've got a messed up Bible. The publisher messed with it. This is amazing. The Lord alone is salvation, and it's all wrapped up in his name. His name is Yah. That's his name, Yah. Listen, finish this off. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's it. Praise Yah. It's his name. Listen, our Muslim friends, you ask them, what's the name of your God? Allah. No, what's the name of your God? Allah. No, I'm asking you, what is the name of your God? Because Allah is not a name. Did you know that? Allah is Arabic for God. That's not a name. God is a title. This is a big deal. Listen, this is seriously incredibly important. Diana, Artemis, Titan, Zeus, they're all gods, but they have a name. The god Bacchus. The god Athena. Are you with me? It's a title. The name of your God is Yah. Listen, in fact, Jesus' Greek name, Jesus in Greek, his Hebrew name, Yeshua, is Yah. Good night. God bless you. Thanks for coming. I mean, there's nothing left after that. Who is salvation? Yah. Not yo. Yah. Yah, salvation. Salvation is in him alone. And so the Bible says that, for in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. Verse 5, for he brings down those who dwell on high, the lofty city. He lays it low. He lays it low to the ground. He brings it down to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. Yah, his name. He rules over, listen, the earth. He's coming back. Right now, Satan's running around on the planet, and he's got a long leash, and it seems to be getting longer of late. But there's a day coming when the Lord will take back that which is his. And when he does that, he will establish righteousness in the earth, and salvation will have a GPS location. It will have a point where people could come and drink, as it were, from the wells of salvation. Are you saying, Jack, that there's going to be a city that saves? No, there's going to be one who lives in that city by the name of Jesus. He is Yah. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, says the Bible. And the very root, you can technically call Jesus Yah. He is the salvation of God. It is him. The name Yah, the meaning of his name is the self-existing one, self-eternal, self-source. It means he depends on nothing. It means whose name is Yah or Yehovah or simply salvation. Listen to this, Isaiah 66, verse 7. Isaiah 66, 7. Now, when I give you these verses next to verse 4 and 5, just write down the reference in the margins of your Bible. You need to do that. Your Bible should, you can mark in your Bible. You can write in it. It's good for you. You say, what if I mark it all up? Then you get a new Bible, you put this one on your bookshelf and reference it, kind of like a diary your Bible becomes, okay? Put dates on there. God spoke to you this thing about that. Write that down. The day you got baptized, that kind of stuff. Write it in there. Well, right now, write in Isaiah 66, verse 7, right next to verses 4, 5, and 6. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing and who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? The answer is yep. Or shall a nation be born at once? Let me think for a minute. Do you know any nation who was a nation, then stopped from being a nation, and then became a nation a second time in how many days? One. Only one nation in all the history of the mankind, ever. Was a nation, then for 2,000 years wasn't a nation, and then it was declared to be a nation again, not in a week, not in 3 days, one day, May 14th, 1948. Pretty amazing, but we're still in Isaiah 66. For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? That's his name right there, Yah. Shall I, who cause delivery, shut up the womb, says your God? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her, that you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus says the Lord, that's his name, Yah, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called 31.7 North, 35.2 East, Part 2. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. Now, if your wide-eyed wonder about the future is more like a fearful squint, don't worry. God's plan is always for the good to those who love him. 31.7 North, 35.2 East, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, as we journey through this book of Isaiah, the prophecies he gave to Isaiah will give us a clear insight into the heart of God. Isaiah knew how much God loved him and also how much he loved Israel. He trusted God and he trusted the visions of the future that God was giving him. And you know, God wants to have that kind of relationship with us. Only his love can save us from the sin that separates us from him. So, if you've recently made a decision for salvation through Jesus Christ, or maybe you're ready to open up your heart towards him right now, but you've still got a few questions, well, we'd like to help. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You'll see a tab there that says Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll not only find Bible scriptures to support your decision for Christ, but a special video invitation from Pastor Jack about what your commitment really means for your life. There's also a place for you to give us your email address and ask further questions if you'd like. It's all right there when you click that tab called Know God at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call, 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.